This is Rabbi Judah, and I want to start by saying I was privileged to be a part of the transition between Hebrew Christianity and Messianic Judaism. Therefore, I knew many of the true scholars of Hebrew Christianity, and I want to give them credit for teaching me the depth of deep Bible studies. And I want to mention three that had a particular influence on me, including Dr. Lewis Goldberg, Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, and Rachmiel Friedland. Now, this series is called The Ten Allegories of the Prophet Jeremiah. Now, the word allegory is a noun, and it is defined as a story, poem, or picture that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, typically a moral or political one. Now, in this case, as I'm teaching from the Bible, I want you to understand it does not mean that the storyline of the Bible is false or not true. It simply means that it can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. Again, I want to point out that when I talk about an allegory in the Bible, it does not mean that the story in the Bible is false or not true. It simply means it can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. And I ask that you have your Bible open to Jeremiah and also be ready to take notes. So what you need to see is that God sometimes asked his prophets to do strange things in order to visibly portray a truth that he wanted his people to know. For example, he had the prophet Isaiah walk around naked for 3 years. And he had Ezekiel lie on one side for a year and then on the other side for a number of days. Again, he asked Hosea, the prophet, to marry a prostitute. God asked prophets to do different things to symbolize doctrine and to symbolize what God was going to do to or for the people to whom the prophecy was addressed. So when we look at the book of Jeremiah, I perceive there are 10 such allegoric or symbolic actions. In each of the lessons, we'll cover one of those allegories. We will begin with the first allegory, which is the linen waistband or the linen girdle. And we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Verse 1 reads, "Thus Adonai said to me, go and buy yourself a linen waistband or girdle and put it around your waist. Do not put it in water. Verse 2, so I got a waistband in keeping with the word of Adonai and put it on my waist. Verse 3, then the word of Adonai came to me a second time saying, take the waistband that you bought, which is on your waist, and get up and go to the Euphrates and hide it there in the cleft of the rock. Verse 5, so I went and hid it at Peroth, or at the Euphrates, as Adonai commanded me. Verse 6, now it came to pass after many days that Adonai said to me, get up, go to Peroth, and take the waistband that I commanded you to hide there. Verse 7, so I went to Peroth, dug it up, and took the waistband or girdle from the place where I had hidden it. But to my surprise, the waistband was marred, worth nothing at all. Now this allegory or symbolic act God gave Jeremiah contains several commands. The first command in verse 1 was to buy a linen girdle or a linen waistband. And the linen waistband or girdle was an undergarment. a short skirt worn around the hips, reaching midway to the thighs. It was worn by the priests. And you see that in Leviticus 16:4. Before I go there, I should point out that it was a symbol of a priestly calling. And you may not realize it, but Jeremiah was a priest. And you see that in Jeremiah 1, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 reads, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the Kohanim who were in Anatot in the land of Benjamin." Now, Kohanim means the high priest. All of my studies will be from the Tree of Life version of the Bible. So you see that Jeremiah was one of the Kohens, one of the high priests. Verse 2, "The word of Adonai came to him during the days of Josiah of Judah, son of Amon, in the 13th year of his reign." Verse 3, "It continued during the days of King Jehoiakim of Judah, son of Josiah, until the end of the 11th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, the son of Josiah, until the exile from Jerusalem in the 5th month." And so you have the reality that Jeremiah was a priest. And as I said, this was worn by the priest as a part of their uniform. That instruction is given in Leviticus 16:4, which reads, "He is to put on the holy linen garment, have the linen undergarments on his body, put on the linen sash, and wear the linen turban. They are the holy garments. He should bathe his body in water and put them on." This ties to Israel's calling, because according to the Bible, Israel itself was called to be a nation of priests. That calling is recorded in Exodus 19:6, which reads, "So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim, and a holy nation. These are the words which you are to speak to Bnei Yisrael." So speak these words to the sons of Israel. You are Kohanim. You are high priests. And this little girdle or garment symbolized the priesthood. He is told to put it on and put it on his loins, symbolizing Israel's closeness to God. He is told to be careful not to put it in water in order to avoid any damage, although we will see that water would ultimately ruin it. Now, Jeremiah obeyed God's command in chapter 13, verse 2, in that he bought this linen garment or girdle and put it on his loins. At this point came the second command, which is in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 13, with the girdle, "Go to the Euphrates." Now, from Jerusalem to the Euphrates is a distance of 300 miles. In the book of Jeremiah, this is the first contact with Babylon. And Babylon was the one destined to destroy the kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah is recorded prophesied during the days of several kings, but there is very little in the days of Jehoiakim. So this period allows for two such round trips. He is told to hide the garment or girdle in the cleft of the rock in verse 4. This means it would have occurred somewhere in the area of the Euphrates called Parath or Chachmesh. Jeremiah obeyed the Lord in verse 5, and he said, "So I went and hid it by the Euphrates as I was commanded." And with that simple statement, he summarized walking a 700-mile round trip. Then came the third command in verse 6, which came many days later. He was told to go back to the Euphrates and fetch the girdle or garment from its hiding place. In verse 7, we see Jeremiah obeyed again. And he went to the Euphrates and dug the girdle out from its hiding place. He then realized that the water had done its work because the girdle was marred. It was good for nothing. Now, the easiest way to interpret an allegory in the Bible is to read what the Bible says that interprets the symbolic action or the allegory. And indeed, the Bible does this in chapter 13 of Jeremiah, verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 reads, "Then the word of Adonai came to me, saying, Thus says Adonai, So I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Verse 10, This wicked people who refuse to hear my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their own heart, and go after other gods to serve them and worship them, will be just like this waistband or girdle, worth nothing at all. For just as the waistband or girdle clings to a man's waist or loins, so I will make the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares Adonai, to be to me a people, a name and a praise and a glory. But they would not obey." So Jeremiah had to make two 700-mile round trips at a time when transportation was arduous, long, and difficult. But God intended to teach a lesson by Jeremiah's allegoric or symbolic action. So after two round trips walking of 700 miles apiece, the word came to Jeremiah in verse 8. And the interpretation of the linen garment or girdle was given. The little garment or girdle represents Israel, according to verse 9. And just as the girdle was marred, God would mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Like the girdle itself, the people had been corrupted by their contact with Babylon. And that contact is recorded in Jeremiah 2, verses 17 through 20. Verse 17, "Have you not brought this on yourself when he led you in the way?" Verse 18, "But now, what is on the road to Egypt, drinking the waters of the Nile? Or what is on the road of Assyria, drinking the water of the Euphrates?" Verse 19, "Your own wickedness will rebuke you, and your backslidings will chide you. Know then and see how bad and bitter it is for you to forsake Adonai your God, nor is fear of me in you. It is declaration of the Lord, Adonai Tzvaot." And as most of, at least the people of Beth Messiah understand, God's title, Adonai Tzvaot, or the Lord of Hosts, is a warrior title. And it is never good when God addresses us by that particular title. And so what we see in verse 9 of Jeremiah 13, they had allowed the idolatry of Babylon to corrupt them and the land of Judah. And just as the linen garment or girdle's contact with the waters of Babylon marred it, even so the nation had become marred by its contact with Babylon. Then God interpreted the marring in verse 10. Just like the garment or girdle was marred so that it was profitable for nothing, so was this people. Just as the garment or girdle was marred for good or nothing, he then pointed out three ways in which they had been marred. First, they had rejected the word of God, emphasizing their active external disobedience to the instructions of God. Secondly, they walked according to their own stubborn hearts, which involved their internal corruption and lack of conformity to what God had demanded. And thirdly, They had gone after other gods to serve them and to worship them. They had more to do with other gods than with the true God. In the interpretation of cleaving to a man's waist in verse 11, is that God in the past cleaved himself to both houses of Israel. There were four purposes for this cleaving. First, we were to be God's people. Secondly, to be the name for the exaltation of God. Thirdly, we were to be a praise, and fourthly, to be a glory. But we, Israel, have refused in the statement ends with these words, but they would not obey. In light of these things, they were destined for judgment. The rest of the chapter builds on these same points that Jeremiah had already made. He continued with special warnings against pride, but because these warnings were not heeded, the royal family was destined for captivity, and Jerusalem was destined for judgment. By the means of this allegory or symbolic action, God showed Israel in a visible way why they were to suffer the judgment of the Babylonian captivity. It was because they had become so marred by their sins, they were good for nothing. And this concludes the first teaching on the first allegory of the prophet Jeremiah. Our next teaching will be on the second allegory of Jeremiah. I hope you're enjoying this. Please let me know. My email address is rabbijudah@bethmessiah.life. Again, my email address, rabbijudah@bethmessiah.life. I would appreciate your feedback.